This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted to be with you today. We do love spending this time with you Monday through Friday right here on Catholic Radio, inviting you to support EWTN and to support your Catholic affiliates and to support your program providers so that we can continue to use these airwaves for the honor and for the glory of God. Indeed, amen, hallelujah. That's what we want to do. We want to spread the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ and his saving love for us to the far corners of the earth. We want everybody to know how much God loves them and that he created them in his image and likeness and that he's got a mighty mission for them today. So we certainly do invite you to join us Monday through Friday right here on Women of Grace Live. We love having that holy conversation with you. I'm going to give you some numbers so that you can begin to get yourself ready to give us a call here. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the toll-free number for you right here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. We're also available for you out there in social media land. Get on out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You're going to find a chat feature there, and you can put your question, comment, insight, inspiration, word of encouragement up there. We'll grab it, and we will get to it. It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday, and you know what Wednesday is. It's Wacky Wednesday. That means that Sue Brinkman is with us, not because she's wacky, but because we talk about wacky things that are going on, important things. We call them wacky because they're so far afield of the way in which we as Catholics should be thinking. In many cases, they are very far afield of what we as Catholics should be doing or not doing. So the fact of the matter is, these days are very important to us so that we can live that abundant life in our Lord Jesus Christ and share that abundant life with others. And I want to let you know, we've got all kinds of great information for you out there at our website. So I invite you to get out there to womenofgrace.com. And I specifically want to invite you to two places on that website. One happens to be in the blogs. So you're going to see blog in the nav bar, and you just scroll over that, and then the list drops down. Choose New Age blog. And there we've got over 1,500 questions and answers about the New Age that through the years Sue Brinkman has responded to because they've come in from people like you, from our listeners, people who watch our Women of Grace television program, people that know that we offer this service. So we invite you to get out there. If you've got a topic that you would like information about, before you send off your question, my guess is there's probably an answer there for you. So just use the search engine, put in your topic, and it's likely to come up for you there. If you need more information, by all means, just send the question to us. newage@womenofgrace.com, I believe, is the way in which you can send that question to us. I also want to tell you about our Women of Grace exclusive opportunity. And that Women of Grace exclusive opportunity is a subscribership program. And for pennies, I mean pennies a day, pennies a month, you can participate as a subscriber and gain access to all of our archives. Now, in those archives, we have done dozens of programs on New Age topics. We surely have. And they're out there for you. And you can watch them. And you can gain information and insight from them. In addition to that, we have done copious numbers of talks at retreats on these topics. And we have also held webinars on these topics, and we've also done studies on these topics. One of the great studies that I think that you might want to participate in, it was an online study that Sue Brinkman did just recently on the book Queen of Militants. Now, Queen of Militants is a book written by Father Emil Neubert. I talk about it a lot here on the air, and we as Women of Grace republished it not long ago, and it's available for you at EWTN's religious catalog, EWTNRC.com, has the book, as do we. And if you're a subscriber to Women of Grace, the actual teachings that Sue did based on that book are archived there for you. So there's so much information available for you at the website as a subscriber and at the website in general. So we invite you to get out there to womenofgrace.com. That's womenofgrace.com, and see what's available for you there. Take advantage of the opportunity, you know. We live in a day and time where we need to be as aware as we possibly can be. We need to be as alert as we possibly can be, because the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. And, you know, we need to be aware of his tactics. We need to be aware of his motivations. We need to be aware of the way in which he operates. And we need to be aware of the temptations that he is eliciting, especially in our day and time, to cause us to become trapped in his diabolical snare. And we don't want that. We certainly don't want that. So get on out there and see what you can do to protect yourself, but not just yourself, your entire family, your children, for example. And that's not to scare you. It's just to tell you got weapons available to you that you can use. And we want you to wield that weapon and wield it well. So all of that's available for you at womenofgrace.com. So it is Wacky Wednesday. Sue Brinkman is with us. We're going to get her on the air before we go to that first break. Good morning, Sue. How are you?
I'm doing so well. And I'm also so glad that you clarified that I am not wacky. Just because it's Wacky Wednesday does not mean Sue is wacky. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome.
Although I sometimes wonder when I read some of this stuff here and I think, is it me? Or, I mean, is the world going wacky on me here?
Or am I wacky because I'm reading all this stuff?
I think that's what's happening.
You know, I can remember years ago when, you know, I was researching the New Age and I was researching it so heavily and I was reading all of these dark books. I don't want anybody to read these dark books. You have no business in those dark books unless, you know, God's called you to a mission in which the protection is there for you, right? But we go delving in out of curiosity and we're going to set ourselves up. And I used to think to myself, you know, at that time it was John Benkovic. And I'd be saying to myself, John Benkovic, what are you doing? and yet, you know, I knew that I was doing what the Lord wanted me to do. But it's like, do I really want to know all this? I really don't. The beautiful thing is that prior to that time, those kinds of topics would have given me the creeps. And that's one of the ways when you know that the Holy Spirit is behind it, because you aren't frightened. You know, he lets you know that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. So, but not, you are not wacky.
Thank you.
But there's wacky stuff going on.
Oh, my goodness. And it gets wackier all the time. It truly does. It truly does. But, you know, a lot of it is, it's wacky, but it's also dark. As you said, this stuff is very, very dark, and you got to watch what you're doing out there, because it can lead you into a whole lot of trouble.
You know, yeah. Sue, clarify this for us, okay? And you know, a lot of people will say, yeah, but you know what? You know, that's not my intention, you know? So somehow my intention, which is a good one, protects me from any kind of harm, as long as I'm thinking good thoughts, or as long as, you know, I'm just not intending to get caught up in this stuff. The devil does not play fair, does he?
No, he does not. And he could care less what your intentions are. care less about that. That's just naivety about the devil there. He doesn't really care about that. Of course, the Lord cares about your intentions. But if you're not in a state of grace and you go trailing after all this stuff, yeah, you leave yourself beyond, you know, the Lord's protection. You go beyond his realm, and you're venturing now into the realm of Satan. And you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. And as we know here, you and I, we see it. The reality of it every day. We can't hide from it. People are getting hurt. They're getting very hurt, very hurt. I mean, I just had a letter the other day about someone who had gotten involved in one of these consciousness awareness programs. And he says, I'm now in a constant altered state. I go in and out of it. I don't know how to stop it. Can you help me?
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, it reminds me of Moira Noonan, who talked about the same kind of a thing. More with Sue Brinkman today when we come back from our break. You're listening to Women of Grace Live, 833-288-EWTN. Join us. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I'm here today with Sue Brinkman. It's Wednesday. We like to have Sue on Wednesdays, and we talk about some of the wacky things that we see happening in the world today. And, you know, we use that term affectionately. We don't use it in a negative way, because we know a lot of people are caught up in things that you carry with them some indication that these are offset. center. And we certainly want to expose those kinds of things so that we don't find ourselves falling into, you know, patterns of behavior, as well as modalities and therapies and ideologies that are going to lead us away from the Lord. So we talk about these things that look a little wacky and yet somehow are managing in some way to attract numbers of people to them. And we want to hear from you today. So I'm going to give you the number. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having holy conversation with you. We're also available to you out there in social media land. Jeff Burson, lovely person, our media manager and our producer, will get your question if you go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature there and he'll retrieve it. Ryan Penny is on the phones. He is waiting for you, 833-288-EWTN. For those of you that are holding right now, just continue to hold. I want to go back to Sue for a moment here. So, you know, you were talking about this one individual in Brazil who contacted you and expressed the difficulty that he's having because he opened himself up to something and now he can't seem to shut it down. And this is one of the ways in which the evil one doesn't play fair. And we were talking about intentionality. Well, you know, I'm just going to do this practice. My intention is a good one. And so therefore my intention is going to protect me. Or I'm going to do this. God loves me and he'll protect me. That second is a sin of presumption. You know, we don't presume upon the Lord. So, you know, you named two things. You said, you know, if we open ourselves up and we're not in a state of grace, if we know that we're doing something wrong, you know, we stand a big chance of losing that state of grace by moving forward in it, right? State of grace isn't going to protect you if you know something's wrong and you enter into it, right?
That's right. That's right. You open yourself up to evil is what you do. It's like you're walking out the door of your house, you know, inside of your house, let's say you're nice and safe. But once you go outside, well, you know, anything could happen. There's cars there. But once you leave that house of grace, so to speak, and the Lord's purview, once you walk outside of that, you open yourself up to anything out there that may want to come after you. Now, remember always, though, that the Lord is in complete control of Satan.
Right.
Right. He controls him. He can't just really go around and do whatever he wants. But if you're out there dabbling around and you're just saying, hey, you know, I don't care about this. I don't care about the Lord. I don't care about these commandments. Oh, this church is just, you know, telling me these things or just so that I can't have fun or whatever. You know, he may allow you to get burned a little bit so that you learn your lesson and you stop doing it, just the way a good parent does with a child. Sometimes you got to let them get hurt and say, didn't I tell you not to do that? That's why I don't want you to do that. So, you know, he does do that from time to time. He does allow it. And then, of course, some people just throw all caution to the wind. This witchcraft is becoming a real problem with young girls because they don't understand witchcraft. They think, well, I'm just going to dabble around in the hipster part of it and I'm not going to get involved in all the other stuff, the spell casting and all that. But what they don't realize is that you don't consort with the devil halfway. Right. You don't just consort with him a little piece of him. Once you open the door, he's in.
Right.
Now, he might not manifest that right away, but he will do that at the time and in the manner that he chooses.
Yeah.
So it's not up to you at all. So once you open that door, even to something little that you think, oh, this isn't, how bad could this be? Once you open that door, you're open game to him, Satan.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And fortunately, you know, the good news is the church has remedies, and the first being the sacrament of reconciliation. And I can't remember which great spiritual writer wrote this, but it might have been Augustine, but it might not have been. But made the statement that one good confession is greater than, you know, 100 exorcisms. So a good confession, and part of a good confession is a firm purpose of amendment, right? So that firm purpose of amendment has got to be part of that confession. And then you've got to live out that firm purpose of amendment by avoiding the near occasion of sin. So you stay away. You stay away. And you don't go consorting in any way at all in areas where evil spirits could be attending. And then, of course, deliverance prayer and, if necessary, exorcism. But there's a long process before that third step there. So we begin with the sacrament of reconciliation. Now, we did get a question that came in was basically on numerology, and we're going to get to that, but I want to go to Fred because he's out there in Buckley, Illinois. We invite you to call us 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way you can join us here with our guest today, Sue Brinkman, talking about all things wacky. Fred, Buckley, Illinois, SiriusXM 130 app is the way he's with us. He's a first-time caller. And I'm ringing my first-time caller bell for Fred. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, ladies. How you doing?
Very well, and you?
I'm a fourth-degree knight with the Knights of Columbus. And, I'm also with Illinois Knights on Bikes.
Okay.
I'm the state president of Illinois.
Okay.
And we're all members of the Knights of Columbus, and we ride motorcycles.
Well, that's fascinating.
We have 48 states, 3 countries, and 15,000 members.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, it's interesting.
We evangelize on our motorcycles.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I just met a priest a couple of weeks ago who is a motorcyclist. He rides a Harley. And I know that Archbishop Wenske, who is the Archbishop of the Diocese of Miami, is also a motorcycle enthusiast. And I think he rides a Harley, too. So we've got a lot of priests and some bishops.
Yes, I'm very familiar with them.
Oh, are you?
yes. They do a lot of things on human trafficking with Doc, who's a member of Knights on Bikes.
Okay.
And he has a very special ministry. And and Bear, we're very familiar with Bear Wozniak.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right.
AWTM.
Yeah.
I have a very close relationship with our Lord. I've been back to church now 8 years. And I one of the things I did as a gift to God, I put a mural on my bike of death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Beautiful.
And I got Calvary on my side cap. I got the Holy Spirit on my side tank. And on the back, I got the Blessed Mother on the center fender with the Jesus at death and Jesus at peace on the back.
I love it.
And when I go out there, that's how I evangelize and I show my faith. One of the things I wanted to share is I hit a pedestrian 2 months ago.
I'm sorry.
And I really struggled with it for 2 months. And actually, last night was the best sleep I've ever had in 2 months. And I sat over concerned about what I asked the Lord to do, and I asked for a greater suffering. I never thought or dreamed that I would be hitting a pedestrian. And so I made it about myself, my safety record, and everything else about myself. And I got to listening to a talk on my phone. It does the catechism. I was listening to spiritual warfare. And I learned a whole lot on the, I think it's 48 chapters of spiritual warfare, and how about all the saints and how they suffered and how they made it more about God. So that's what I did, and I turned around and made it more about God. And the day of court day, I prayed the sorrowful mysteries on my rosary. And I asked God, I says, whatever happens, let it be your will. And if it's meant that I'd be punished severely, then I'd be punished severely. Well, I got to court. I pled not guilty. And they called me back up, said there were no witnesses against me. So I got dismissed. It's amazing how God works.
He does. So, Fred, I want to ask you a question. I mean, obviously, this was an accident. It was not intentional. And the unfortunate reality is that terrible accidents do happen. You know, I think that the steps that you took are beautiful steps that show a contriteness of heart, that even though this wasn't your fault, that nonetheless, you share in the pain of the other. And how is the pedestrian?
The pedestrian is good. I pray for her healing.
Good.
She has never forgiven me yet. She goes to the same parish I go to, so I just got to let it work itself out. When she's ready, I'll approach her.
Yeah, well, That's right. And that, you know, healing is, I mean, forgiveness is a process, just like healing is a process. So your prayers for her, I'm sure, will be very efficacious in helping her to take that step. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us. And thank you very much for giving us some insight into how we can take these contradictions in life, even the ones that are unintentional and hurt other people. And we can use them not just for our spiritual benefit, but for the spiritual benefit of others. And, you know, I'll keep my eyes peeled for you on the road. If I see somebody that looks like he's a biking evangelist, I'll know it's you, Fred.
Yeah, I was down there in Birmingham two years ago on my motorcycle.
Were you?
And I was going down to Panama City Beach, California. I mean, Florida.
Okay.
To visit my cousin. And but anyway, I'll let you have other callers, so I'll let you go.
Well, thanks, Fred. God bless you. Bye-bye now. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way you can join us. So, Sue, there's Fred, and he's out there proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, you know, all over the place on his bike. And we're all called to do that, but we can get very confused. And we did have somebody that wrote in earlier this week or maybe last week asking about numerology and numbers. Why don't you review that with us?
Oh, yeah. She was asking us a question. She said, when you see numbers like 1111 and 999, you know, et cetera, are the angels trying to communicate with us? Mm-hmm. You know, what is this about numerology? But first of all, numerology is a form of divination and is using numbers to interpret a person's character or to divine the future, which means, of course, it's strictly forbidden by the church because all forms of divination are rejected and forbidden by the course because that's recourse to Satan or demons, along with conjuring up the dead and other practices that supposedly will unveil the future. That's number 2116 in the catechism. So numerology is off limits. But what about this seeing these repeat numbers? We have a lot of people who will say that. I myself will say that. I very often wake up in the middle of the night and it's 333. And when I see it's 333, I, of course, automatically think of the Trinity. And I just praise you, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I just go on my way, turn around, and go back to bed, you know. But now there's a whole cottage industry out there about what the mystical meanings are behind these repeat numbers that you might see from time to time. And many, many people do see them. But a lot of the theories about this are that it's some sort of a spiritual awakening or a confirmation from your angels or your spirit guides that are trying to contact you and they're trying to get a message to you. These are all the kinds of things that are floating around out there on the internet, and they are just a plethora of these things are out there about when you see repeat numbers and what they all mean. And it's all websites, you know, Mystical Mama and, you know, and right. Or whatever, you know, these kind of websites, Law of Attraction and stuff like that. And I just cracked up when Uri Geller wrote about it. I don't know who Uri Geller is. He's the Israeli illusionist. He's a magician and he's a self-proclaimed psychic. And he experienced these frequent 111 sightings. And this is what he says on his blog. And I'm going to editorialize this as I say it. He says, I believe that people who have constant contact with the 1111 phenomena have some type of a positive mission to accomplish. Now, Uri, don't you think we all have a positive mission to accomplish in the world? We weren't here to do harm, were we? We were all put here to, you know, love God, to serve him in this world and live with him eternally in the next. He says, it is still a mystery to me what it is that we all have to do or why we're all being gathered and connected together. Well, aren't we already connected? We're all human beings of the same species, right? Living on the same planet. I mean, come on, Uri. I'm failing to see what's so mystical here. And he says that, to me, it activates, oh, here it is. I feel that it is immensely positive, almost like there is a thinking entity sending us these physical and visual signs from the universe. Well, did you ever think it could be God? You know, a thinking entity? Come on, Uri, you can do better than this. And it says, and in me, it activates the power of prayer, love, and determination to somehow help the world. You needed to see those numbers to want to pray for others and love others and try to help the world? I hope not. So he says, someday I suspect we will find out the true meaning behind this puzzling phenomena. It could start happening to you too, after reading my website. In other words, go to my website and you'll find out all the answers. This stuff is silly. When you go out and you read it, it's nothing but superstition. There is no basis to it at all. If you happen to be seeing, I often see 911. I often see that one. That one's very popular out there. If you Google that in, 911 sightings, they're all over the place. Oh, yeah, I see it. I see it. I see it. When I see that, what's the first thing I do? I pray for everyone who perished on 9/11. That's the very first thing I do. It doesn't have to be your angel trying to tell me something. If my angel tries to tell me something, I hope that he does not have any problem getting his message across to me, because I want to be open to everything that he has to say to me. However, I don't have a spirit guide. I don't want a spirit guide. My only spirit guide is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Right, the Holy Spirit. And
yes, the Holy Spirit. That's all I need to guide me. So this is all... All this is numerology. It all has to do with divination, and you should just stay away from it. It's superstition. Do not put any, if anything, let it lead you to prayer for the world. That's all. Let it lead you to prayer to God.
Well, you know what? I've got two thoughts on this. You know, as far as what you're sharing with us about Yuri, the fact of the matter is that what you're going to see very popularized today, and I'm not telling you this, that you know this, but I'm just stating it in general. The thing that you're going to see today is a way to seek, some kind of spiritual experience, but not name that spirit the God of the Christian, because then that comes with objective truth, and it comes with an objective morality. And people do not want that. They don't want an objective truth. They want their own truth. They want to create their own reality, and they don't want a morality. They want to be able to do whatever it is that they want to do. And yet there's a certain thirst inside of the human person to know that which is beyond themselves, and that which is beyond themselves is God. So there's that thirst, but they don't want the God who sets up for them a means of happiness that they think runs counter to what their own personal desires and wants might be, their own passions, right? So you hear all of this fudging around trying to say something in a way that is devoid of the God of the Christian, you know, a monotheistic being whose name is God, supreme intelligence, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, who sent his son, by way of the Virgin, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, et cetera. They don't want the doctrine. They just want the nice, fuzzy thought on it. The second thing that I wanted to comment on is unhealthy curiosity. Maybe we'll pick up on that when we come back from our break here, but unhealthy curiosity. Think about that for a moment, friends, and give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Ryan Penny on the phones. Use EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, the chat feature there, to get your questions to us. Jeff Person will grab them. We're going to be right back, more with Sue Brinkman on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. We've got Sue Brinkman here, and we've got the phone lines open for you. We're talking about wacky stuff today. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here as we continue to move forward in our program. Also available to you out there in cyberspace land, you can go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page and use the chat feature there. We've got Jeff Burson, who will gather your questions from social media, and we've got Ryan Penny on the phones. And that number again is 833-288-3986. So, Sue, we were talking about, numbers. Somebody writing in asking if these repeat numbers had some message from angels attached to them. And I was talking about an unholy curiosity, and I remember Father Benedict Groeschel wrote in his book, Still Small Voice, that one of the big things that we've got to be very concerned about is an unhealthy curiosity about things. And when we begin to attach some kind of significance to a number, investing that number with a certain power, we're moving towards the edge of we're actually moving into the realm, I guess I would say, of superstition. So we've got to be very, very careful about that. And here, Michelle out there on YouTube has a question. She says, can you tell me about angel card readings? People say they can speak to and hear from the angels. So what about these angel cards? This is kind of like in the same vein. We want to know, these angels are not all God's angels.
That's so true. The New Age has definitely co-opted angels.
Yeah.
They have their own crew of angels up there, but they often use the same names.
That's
Saint
right.
Michael, for instance, a very popular name with the angels out there. And there's people who have written whole books of readings that supposedly came from the Archangel Michael. And of course, they did not. New Age angels are kind of easy to speak because they're always about empowering people to achieve like their highest potential, or to help them get rid of their anxieties and troubles, or rake in all kinds of money, of course, while being enormously successful. This is what the New Age type angel does.
Mm-hmm.
Angel card readers, angel cards are very much like tarot cards. It's the same thing. They're used for divination, and they claim that these are messages that are coming from the angels. Now, God, of course, condemns divination, so he would never consort with anybody who's using a card to divine something. Like, he's not going to do that. The catechism teaches us, and this is something that the people don't know because they don't read the catechism, so they don't understand what an angel is, and it's very easy for them to say, oh, it's Saint Michael. I guess I can listen to this and I can read these messages, and not realizing that you've got to learn how to distinguish between a New Age angel who is actually, of course, a demon, or just a figment of somebody's imagination, and a real angel. And if you want to learn about that, that's in the catechism number 331. That there's a number that you want to remember, number 331. Go to that number, okay? Because it's going to explain a lot to you. Christ is the center of the angelic world. They are his angels. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, they belong to him because they were created through and for him. They belong to him still more because he has made them messengers of his saving plan. So all of the angels, they revolve around the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever they do, they point to him. They are his messengers. That is true. But the messages that they're bringing to you are messages for you to live a good, moral, upright life, to have a properly formed conscience, to keep the commandments of God. Those are the messages they're giving you. They're not giving you messages about what number to play in the lottery next week. This is not what they're doing, okay? So, and they're never going to do that, even though we know God doesn't want us all to be poor all the time. But, you know, sometimes we do have to be poor. So, but, you know, you have to learn who our angels are, who the real angels are, the good angels are, in order to distinguish them from the bad angels. And the bad angels are tremendous deceivers.
Well,
they're very good at that.
And I think it's safe to say that there is no angel of God that's going to use any of these occult esoteric means to communicate with us, because it's opposed to God. They're fully within the will of God. So they're not going to use ungodly means to communicate with us. So, and beware of those other names. And you gave us one earlier on, Sue, spirit guides. You know, whenever you hear spirit guides, that's bad. That's not coming from a Christian understanding of the supernatural. So you let it go. Here's Jacqueline. She's out here in YouTube. She is from Argentina. She says, my sister says her therapists are using this new method called constellations. Do you know of it?
Yeah, I do have. I wrote a blog on that. Now, let me see if I can find that one for you. But yeah, I did have it, and there are issues with it. There are definitely some issues. I'm looking it up right now while we speak. Constellation therapy. It's a form of family therapy. And there were some problems with it.
Well, you know, one of the things, I'm glad that Jacqueline is asking this question while you continue to look, I'll simply say, you know, we have to be very careful about what it is that we pay for, because sometimes when we're going to a therapist, if the therapists are using means by which, means through which we can become open to these kinds of spiritual dangers, then we want to stay away from that therapist, right? Mm-hmm. So just because somebody has gone through a training and people have gained degrees in this does not necessarily mean that they're using particularly solid psychological and psychotherapeutic kinds of practices. Mm-hmm. So we want to be very aware of these things. A lot of New Age modalities have scooted in there and have taken up residence within the offices of lots of therapists who are well-meaning individuals. But once again, being well-meaning does not protect you from what might be the opening that therapy is going to bring with it. We've got Melissa out there, too, while you're looking, Sue. Melissa in Topeka, Kansas is calling us. She is with us. I've got to whisper how she's with us. She's with us via Alexa. I have to whisper because my Alexa will come on. How are you, Melissa? Oh, there she is.
Hey, I'm doing well, Jeanette. How are you doing? How are you and Sue doing?
We're doing
just great.
Excellent. That's so funny. I had to whisper too. Ryan's like, okay. Yeah.
Well, mine is over here shining at me and talking very softly.
You know, you could put her in whisper mode for early in the morning. You can whisper to her. What time is it? And she'll whisper it back.
Oh, she's
just
playing.
Just to let you know, to give you a heads up.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm going to take my microphone and move myself over to where she is so that I can turn her off. But go ahead,
okay.
Melissa, what's your question?
Okay, my question is, you know that eye symbol, it's like an open eye. Is that New Age?
Well, actually, that's called the Eye of Providence. And that's, it's supposedly
Eye of Providence.
The all...
Okay.
Yes, it's the all-seeing eye of God. And it does have its origin in Christian iconography. How do you say that?
I'm sorry, I'm laughing about that.
Iconography. Iconography. Yeah, it's
all-seeing eye of God.
Yes, that's what that is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
but
if somebody would perhaps put that on their body as a tattoo, is that okay, or is that something...
Well, it's also used in different. Freemasonry, I'm afraid. They also use that that particular symbol. So, no, I wouldn't just assume anything. I would want to know from that person, like, what was the? How come you chose that? Why did you choose that? Is it really because of the Eye of Providence of God, or is that person perhaps identifying themselves as being involved in Freemasonry? So there are other uses for that. Even though we do happen to have it on our dollar bill, but there are other uses for the Eye of Providence. So I would definitely want to check that out. I wouldn't make any rash judgments. Let's put it that way. Ask the person first.
Sure. Okay.
Why they have that on them, but it does have other connotations besides.
What if it's a popular singer that people revere? How could you get through?
I don't know. I don't know that you would be able to ask that person, you know, specifically, but
yeah.
You know, here's the other thing that if the person is ascribing to an occult worldview and that's a symbol of the fact they're using that symbol to make that statement, then that's going to be witnessed in other aspects of their life. And so you can listen to what a person says. You can listen to the kinds of causes that they support. And all of that is going to give you a little bit of information about how that person is seeing, you know, is using this. But it certainly is, you know, an esoteric symbol. It started in Christianity, but it became, you know, subsumed by, you know, this an esoteric kind of cult. The other thing I want to say, it's just like the word angel. You know, angel is a reality. It's a Christian reality. It's a reality from the Old Testament, right? But the name has been co-opted. So the same with a symbol. A symbol can be co-opted by, you know, another organization and used in a way that is not beneficial or helpful. So it's an important thing. Satanic cults also use that symbol. So I think Sue's advice to you is excellent. You know, you just got to kind of do a little bit more digging, Melissa, and you're going to probably find the answer to that pretty simply.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. And thanks for your call today. So, Sue, you've got some information for us finally. You too, darling. God bless you. On the constellation therapy.
Yes, I did find out about this. And just as I thought, it is a very troubling form of therapy. It's steeped in New Age beliefs. It's based on the concept that people become entangled in the faiths of their ancestors, through unconscious connections. And those unconscious connections are believed to be psychic fields of energy, which contain memories and therefore influence people in ways that connect you with people or places or animals. It's really quite bizarre. It's totally unsubstantiated by science. I would not get involved in family constellation therapy. That's what it is. That's what it is known as. There has been no rigorous scientific research done on any of the methods that they're using in this. You know, they try to connect to they tune in to the resonance of the family energy field or the family soul of the client. It's just really based on a bunch of hokey nonsense. And unfortunately, it can really lead people astray and hurt them. So I would not have anything to do with family constellation therapy.
Well, that should help you out. Jacqueline there in Argentina today, and we thank you for sending in your message to us. Here's a number that we do like you to remember and use, and it has a lot of significance. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's the toll-free number for you right here in North America to get in touch with us on the air today, 833-288-3986. Just pick up the phone, give us a call here. And we also invite you to use social media. We've taken two questions today from social media, and you can get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page and use the chat feature there to get a question to us today. Sue, we've got some more things that are going on here. We've got Anne with us. She's in North Carolina. She is listening to us via the EWTN app, and she's a first-time caller. There's your first-time caller, Belle. Anne, welcoming you for the first time. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good, good, good.
So I was calling about a friend who has become, she's a practicing Catholic and mm-hmm. the mother of several children, and mm-hmm. she's become a practitioner of quantum healing hypnosis techniques, soul-searching okay. hypnosis, and they look at past lives, they believe, and that they meet their spiritual guide or guardian angel, and they go
through. Oh, there you go.
Anyway, so a couple questions. I've spoken to her when I saw her kind of heading in this direction before this hypnosis thing came up. I actually gave her some materials from you guys about something else she was involved with, and I thought she had left that. But I see her at church regularly, and our daughters are friends, and my daughter would like to be able to defend the faith against this when she goes over, but I've kind of limited her time that she spends there. She's 16. But I'd like to know how to help her. I know there are probably catechism. She somehow has justified this, that it's okay with the Catholic faith. I haven't really entered into a conversation because I feel like she's going to be very defensive, and I guess she probably has had experiences that, you know, have led her to believe that this is true. So,
go ahead.
I want you to jump into the explanation of all of that. But, you know, I think one of the questions I would simply ask your friend is, why is she drawn to these kinds of things? There's something that's drawing her there. And I don't necessarily mean an entity. It could be, that she's, you know, being influenced in a negative way by some spirits of darkness. But there's some unhealthy curiosity that's leading her in these directions over and over again. And that's the root of the problem. And I mean, that will expose the root of the problem. And that's what's got to be resolved. But go ahead, Sue, on the rest of it.
Well, for one thing, what you could say to your friend when she's talking about how this quantum healing hypnosis technique leads one through past lives, that means that she believes in reincarnation, which, of course, is against the teaching of the church. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing right there. That's a huge red flag to me. Why would she be involved in it? But quantum healing hypnosis technique, all quantum healing that is out there right now. Quantum is very much a word used by the New Age. They love that word because it sounds very scientific, but it's actually very pseudoscientific. It's a mixture of all kinds of ideas. They're based on like quantum mechanics and psychology and philosophy, neurophysiology. They all kind of come together into this quantum healing hypnosis type thing. And it is it's hokey. There's no science behind it. She really, I think what Johnette said, that was the very first thing that came to my mind, Johnette, when I was listening to her, give us this description of what was going on, is why is she searching for stuff like this? Something mm-hmm. is out there making her searching. And I would, if I were you, I would start there.
Yeah.
To find out what it is and you know, befriend her in that. You know, what is it that you're really looking for? And try to find out what's lacking somewhere. Something is lacking to her that she feels she's got to keep looking somewhere else for her answers.
Yeah. And in these ways, you know, these things provide, a quick, easy fix. And some of these things also very much appeal to our pride. It makes us feel that we're very elite, that we understand all this. That's one of the, it's a specious argument, which sounds very pleasing to the ear, but, you know, on investigation, it turns out that it's really, you know, a bunch of non-connected thoughts. There's nothing there of substance. But people can be attracted to that because sometimes their own lack of security in themselves, et cetera, can cause them to search in these ways, to make themselves feel better. So it appeals to the sense of pride. It can make a person feel that they're very intelligent. And it also can really just be this unhealthy curiosity again. But I think that you need to start there. I do think that it's a good idea that, you know, you're kind of guiding your daughter in a sense to, be a little less active, because clearly, that kind of thinking, if it's discussed around your daughter, it can incite an unhealthy curiosity in her. So I think you're being a wise mama there.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Ann. Thanks for your call. God bless you.
You too. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye now. People continue to be drawn to these things, Sue. And I myself don't understand it. I think that in some cases, it's just that they want a quick, easy fix. They don't want to have, a moral, component, because they want to do what they want to do. They want to give into their passions. And, you know, in some ways, I think that it's also just a sign of the fact that we live in such a secularized world, and the spiritual side of our being always wants to be satisfied, and it'll satisfy it with anything that seems to be, appealing. If they're not going to get it through truth, they'll get it through deception, but they're never going to be satisfied. They're going to always keep walking through more open doors here and there, or opening more doors here and there. Let's go to Jerry. She's in Cleveland, Ohio. She's listening to us via The Rock. Hi, Jerry. How are you?
Oh, hanging in there. And I just have to say that I so much appreciate the fact that you and Sue do this every Wednesday. I mean, this world needs this kind of radio so much, because a lot of this stuff is just, you know, people think it's harmless, like you said, but, you know, and I was taking a couple of notes there, and I was trying to paraphrase something that you said, and as soon because I got as far as, you know, staying away from, and then I was thinking in my head, there's a good way to say this, and then you popped up with unhealthy curiosity. I'm like, bingo, that's it. You know, that's the phrase. And I worry about that with one of my daughters, and she kind of got another one of my daughters to go see someone that, you know, was like, I guess a psychic or something. And, you know, they think it's all right. You know, it's not going to be a big deal. But, you know, it's like, this is how you get pulled in. And this kind of thing just worries me. And one of the reasons why I called back, Johnette, is because I had called and I was on hold. But you had also mentioned something from the catechism that was, and I can't remember exactly. I was just trying to write the numbers down. And I got as far as 3, and then
oh, that's two.
Think of the other numbers that you've had.
Yes, it's 331. It was
331.
That's the one. And that explains church teaching on the angels, and that once people understand what a real angel is, they won't get drawn into the false version. I think that's a big reason why a lot of people get sucked into this, into the new age, that and healing. Yeah. They're looking for healing. Okay. And when you go out and you, and I do this research all the time, and I'm telling you, these websites are very slick. They're state of the art. They use a lot of, you know, quantum scientific type language that really, if a person is not well catechized, I think it's very easy to get snookered into this stuff and you be, you become involved. And it's, they don't intend to get involved in anything bad. They have no idea what they're getting involved in. But they want healing, and they're looking for healing in many cases, like as the quantum healing hypnosis. That's what people are doing. So I think that's a major reason why you have people getting involved in the New Age. They're poorly catechized, and you have slick marketers out there that know how to rake them in and get the people onto their website and teach them different things. And they're all like, you know, this mental stuff, the human potential movement, the mind can make all these wonderful things happen. And this is just the way it's happening. It's very simple, but it's a lot of very simple things merging together that create the perfect storm. And you have the secularism, the relativism, all of that together is now leading people to go out into these other different areas and they become involved in things that are over their head, and they don't realize it often until it's too late.
Well, Jerry, thank you for your call today, and thank you for your encouragement. We think that this is a very important topic for us to continue to discuss, and that's why we have Sue with us every Wednesday. And we certainly do invite you to send your emails to us, womenofgrace@ewtn.com. We'll get to those questions for Sue through that means as well. We also invite you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time on the same station as we discuss issues of importance to your life and faith. Sorry we couldn't get to all of you today. We'll try it again, Sue. Thank you, and God bless all of you. Bye-bye now.